You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Rugby Union World Cup. Expert opinion, live in-play betting calls and weekly podcasts exclusive to William Hill.
Yes, hello and welcome along to the Rugby Union World Cup podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to the second round of fixtures for the home nations. England will take on Wales, Scotland play USA and Ireland to take on Romania in this round of games. And I'm delighted to say, joining myself, Sam Norris, again on the podcast, is former England prop Jeff Probyn. How are you, Jeff?
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm in good shape. Thank you. Yourself?
Well, I'm quite happy. It's been a marvellous start to the World Cup. You know, certainly the Japan-South Africa result was out of the blue. If anyone had a bet on that one, they've really done well. I know I had a mate who put 15 quid on and has come away with a good few bob. So he's quite a happy chap.
Yeah, there's always someone out there who's backed a team at a big price. There'll never be no one who hasn't put a couple of quid on it. But I mean, Japan aside, there's been some fantastic performances in week one. Obviously, we had Georgia beating Tonga, which if it wasn't for the Japan result, would have been the shock of the week. And we've had sides playing really well in defeat as well. The likes of Argentina going down to New Zealand, they played really well. Who's really caught the eye, apart from the obvious, in the opening week?
Well, as you said, the Georgian game is the one. The great thing for people who watch rugby and understand it is that you're seeing these second-tier nations who everyone dismissed before this World Cup, putting in some really, really good performances and really being crowd pleasers. The crowd down in King's Home watched that Tonga game. They had a great game of rugby played in front of them, and it was a great game of rugby. One of the things it's proving is that the second tier are not that far behind. Yes, Japan's result against South Africa was really out of the blue. South Africa took them too lightly. I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I think that South Africa may have deliberately lost that game so they could have an easier route through to the final. If they finished the group first, then they face Australia and New Zealand in the quarters and the semis. If they finish second, then they face England and probably Ireland in the quarters and the semis. So all in all, in my conspiracy theory ideas say that South Africa may have, I doubt it's true, but they may well have deliberately lost the game. I'm pretty sure they would prefer to have lost to Samoa than Japan, but it's great for the game of rugby that Japan have won.
Yeah, it would have been a little less embarrassing from their point of view, I suppose, to lose to Samoa, but a fantastic performance from the Japanese. But as you say, they maybe weren't so disappointed to lose the game. And of course, we've got the US in this pool as well, who played well in defeat against Samoa, and that they take on Scotland later. Again, they don't look like the sort of pushovers that maybe some people had them down as pre-tournament.
No, they're not. But the big thing about the Americans is they're spending all their investments in sevens players. So as much as they're physical, as much as they're strong, and they competed well against Samoa, against the first tier teams, the likes of the Scotlands and all that, they will struggle. Scotland will beat the USA, I have no doubt about that. And it will be another bonus point victory for Scotland. So Scotland are doing well in the group. They're currently heading it up. South Africa, as I say, I expect South Africa to focus a bit more now on the games. Probably took the Japanese a bit too lightly. They won't be doing that again with any of the teams. It's going to be a very interesting group to see who wins that one, whether it is South Africa or whether it's Scotland.
Yeah, it's been blown wide open now after the first week of results. We'll take a little look now at how England and Wales fared in their opening games. We'll start with England. We knew they weren't going to have an easy ride against Fiji. Ended up winning 35-11. They put a little bit of gloss on the victory towards the end of the game. But it was a good run out for the English boys.
It was, but it was disappointing in many ways. We didn't really see England perform in the way we'd like to see them perform. Against the Fijian side, you expect that there's going to be some good back play from both sides. You expected England's defence to be strong and robust, which it was. But you also expected England's forwards to dominate, and they certainly didn't. There were 9 English scrums in that game. England only won 6 of them. There were 7 Fijian scrums, and the Fijians won all 7 of theirs. That's something that the Graham Rowntree, the England coach, is going to have to look at and going to have to put right. England will not win this World Cup if they can't dominate their own scrums. And it's a crucial thing that they, particularly against Wales this week, that they actually do well in the scrum. We saw the Welsh forwards play well in their game against Uruguay. Lots of driving mauls off the line out. I don't think that'll work against England, but it does show that their forwards are confident and they're strong and they're united. England need to improve their forward play if they're going to do successfully well in this World Cup.
That's right, but I know we were talking just before the podcast, Jeff. The impetus is very much on building from the back for England, getting the defence right against Wales.
Yeah, you know, I was out with Gareth Chilcott the other day, and Coochie is very close mates with Mike Catt, who's the attack coach for England. And Mike Catt has said that the focus for this game in particular is all about defence, hence the reason that England have brought in Burgess and they've brought in Farrell. They believe that that's a far stronger back line because they believe that the Welsh will play a power play game with their backs, with the likes of Roberts and obviously with George North and Cuthbert coming in. So, and Liam Williams, hopefully he's recovered from his injury, he'll be starting against England. So it's a very much a power play and speed way. It'll be about getting across the game line. England are very keen to have a very strong defence and make sure they have their best goal kicker on the field. That's why Farrell's gone in for Ford and why they're starting with Burgess. It's going to be interesting. Burgess will be a bit of a risk. We're not sure what he can do in attack. As a defender, we know he can tackle. He's a back row player from rugby league. If he couldn't tackle, he couldn't play in rugby league. So we know he can tackle. And it's kind of similar to when England played against Wales when Jamie Roberts first came on the scene. They put Joe Worsley, the back row forward, stood opposite Roberts every time that there was an England scrum or there was an England line out, so that from the set pieces, Worsley was actually playing in the centre rather than as a back row forward to tackle Roberts because of the threat that Roberts posed. We're now doing the same thing. We're putting a back row forward, Burgess, against Roberts to make sure we limit what Roberts can do. He's a big, destructive man, similar size to Burgess. Two big men. It's going to be one hell of a clash.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to watching that. A lot of the impetus will be on Sam Burgess, I suppose. He'll be able to shoulder that pressure, though, Jeff.
I think he will. You know, I mean, obviously, he's a guy who's been in elite competitions before. He's done it all in rugby league. He's won everything there is to do in rugby league. But it's still very, very early for him in rugby union. And I have to say, I'm one of the school that say it's probably a little bit too early for him. I'm hoping that this doesn't turn into an embarrassment. Like-for-like replacements would have been bringing Henry Slade in for Jonathan Joseph. Joseph is a light on the feet player, just like Slade, as Slade proved when he played with Burgess against the French. It's certainly not a like-for-like replacement by bringing in Burgess. It has changed the makeup of the back line, changed the way that England played. I'm surprised that Barrett's in there. He had probably his worst game for England last week. He needs to have a good game. This is the sort of game that he will do well in. It's a game that's really made for Barrett and Burgess. If they perform well, I can see England winning this. I still think England will win this pool game. I think it won't be a big score in this game. I don't see England coming away from this with a bonus point. I think it will be a pretty tight affair.
OK, and Wales in their opening game, we didn't see as much of them against Uruguay, if you like, as we did against England. Didn't really need to go up the gears too much, but they were quite a long way off the handicap of 67.
Yeah, it's a bit of a disappointment, though, really, the way the Wales played. Winning is the important thing. You play rugby, you play to win. But we expect to see more from Wales. I expect to see them use their backs a little bit more. Yes, they picked up a couple of injuries during the game. Williams coming off and also Corey coming off as well with injuries. That's a worry for Wales. Williams will be back again. Liam Williams will be back this week. He was only a bruise. They've lost Corey. He's out completely. So they've got to look for replacements there. But he was probably only going to be a bit player in this World Cup anyway. So the first team squad is going to be there. The big thing for Wales is we expect to see him move the ball well. I thought Gareth Davis played very well for them. He came in, obviously, for Reece Webb. And it was a bit of a surprise. I expect to see him start against England. Although, you know, England does have a history with Mike Phillips. He's a bit of a bruiser as far as England are concerned. So, yeah, I was a bit disappointed by the fact that Wales just took to keep on going for the kick for the corner and drive off the line out. I expect to see, once they got the points on the board and once they started to dominate, as they did against Uruguay, that they would start to open up a bit, and they didn't. We haven't really seen what Wales can offer in attack, and it'll be interesting this Saturday because they will have to play a different game to how they played against Uruguay.
Yeah, no question about that. Let's get stuck into the betting then. Obviously, England taking on Wales on Saturday at Twickenham. They bet like this. England are 130 on for this game. 25-1 the draw, 3-1 about Wales. The handicap set at 8. England minus 8 is 10-11. Wales plus 8 is 10-11. The handicap tie is 16-1. You said it'll be a close game. Is 8 a generous handicap, Jeff?
I think it is. I think, I think we're more, well, you know, bookies are not daft. They've seen what's gone on in the recent games of England. All right, there was a couple of years ago when England got stuffed down in Millennium, but they've never been stuffed by Wales at Twickenham. So, and also this England side have beaten Wales the last couple of times they've played against them. So they've improved. They understand how Wales are playing. Wales have not changed dramatically the way they're playing. So it's going to be that sort of game. It's going to come down to really a war of attrition. Who's going to get the most penalties? Who's going to kick the penalties? Obviously with Farrell coming in, his kicking averages are slightly better than Ford's. His attacking distribution as a player is not as good as Ford's, but it shows the mentality that England are taking in this game. We know the game that Wales will be playing. They'll be using Jamie Roberts and George North coming off his wing to try and create the dents in the English defence to provide space for other players around them. It won't be pretty, but it will be one hell of a game of rugby.
Yeah, that's for sure. In terms of try scorers for this one, Jeff, who are you looking at?
Well, I think Gareth Davis has got to be, for the Welsh, has got to be a guy to look at. We saw him score a couple of tries and show that he's very good at sniping around the edges of the mauls and around the edges of the rucks. He's also a good distributor of the ball, and he does follow up well. So I expect Gareth Davis to be possibly there as a follow-up for George North making a big break. And for the English, you can't go farther than looking at Mike Brown, who seems to be on fire at the moment. He's always popping up in all the places where he's shot. His second try against Fiji was out of the blue, fantastic backing up play. I think he's got to be on for a possible try scorer.
Okay, a couple of selections there from Jeff in terms of try scorers. Anything else caught the eye with this game in terms of the betting?
I'd look at this game as being a 25-18 scoreline sort of difference for England. I think that Wales could possibly win the first half and England come back and win the game.
Okay, interesting thoughts there from Jeff. Wales to win the first half and England to possibly come back and win that game. In terms of the out result then, would you play England on that -8 handicap, or do you think it'd be closer than Wales with the +8?
No, I think I'd go with that England on that minus. I think it's going to be something around that sort of level. It's not going to be a cricket score, I don't think. I don't think it's that sort of game. I can't see either side really breaking away and doing something miraculous, let's put it that way.
Yeah, should be a tight affair, certainly. Looking forward to that game. We'll move on then to take a look at Scotland. They take on the USA at Elland Road on Sunday. Scotland obviously opening their campaign with a 45-10 victory over Japan. United States were defeated by Samoa 25-16. But again, they played credibly in that game. It was important for Scotland to beat Japan because obviously after the South Africa victory, all the sort of eyes were on Scotland thinking how are they going to deal with the Japanese?
Yeah, I'm, as I said, my conspiracy theorist idea that the South Africans threw that game, I don't really believe it, but it is possible that they weren't focused because it was just Japan. One of the things that Japan's victory did is it certainly upped the ante as far as anyone else, as far as Samoa and Scotland, who see themselves as two of the contenders for that pool, it upped the ante as far as they were concerned. They realised that they couldn't take Japan lightly, and they certainly didn't. I mean, they put out their first team against the Japanese, and they got the result that we expected. First half was pretty close, but then Scotland pulled away. Everyone says that's probably because Japan were tired having to turn around within 3 days. Not really sure that's true. They are athletes. The Japanese would have trained for that sort of occurrence. They know that in a World Cup you do get short term rounds. So I think it was just that Scotland were aware that they had to put in a performance against what is a good Japanese side. They did that. They got the result. I expect them to do the same against America. I expect them to win by a similar sort of margin against America.
Okay, should be fully focused this game then against the US. Scotland are 1-14 for this game, 28-1 the draw, 13-2 about the USA. Handicap is 23, minus 23 for Scotland, 10-11, plus 23 for the USA is also 10-11. They would have landed that handicap against Japan. Taking them to do the same, Jeff?
Yeah, I think with this one, as I say, I think that they'll beat America by more than the handicap, so I'd look a bit higher.
Fair enough. We've got alternate handicaps then. You can play Scotland and minus 28 points is 8-5. Minus 33 points is 11-4. Minus 38, 9-2. Just how high would you go, Jeff?
I'd go for the 33.
Minus 33 then on the alternate handicaps is 11-4. That's on the handicap market on your console page, Scotland versus USA. Try scorers here, Jeff.
Who do you go for? With Matt Scott, centre. You know, he scored in that game. We had Finn Russell score. I don't see Finn Russell scoring against the Americans. The Americans are very good at close-in defence. They're not so good out wide with their defences. So Tommy Seymour, Matt Scott, I could see those two scoring, obviously because they're out wider. Sean Maitland as well. I could see him getting on, his name on the score sheet. The Americans, you've got to look at them and you've got to say that reality, they've not got too much in terms of where they can launch attacks against the likes of of Scotland. Scotland's defence will be too strong for them. They've got some very quick players. But you kind of think to yourself, they just won't really get that much opportunity when it comes to it. You've got to say that Williams might score for them. Or Wiles, who'd rather. He's a good player. He's played a lot of times for the Americans. It's a difficult one with the American side because you never really know what you're getting. They're robust, they're physical, they get into people, they tend to play an aggressive, almost rugby, almost American football style game. They've got some very quick players, Peasy and guys like that who are quick off the mark. I'm talking about Thompson, who's quick off the mark. They've got a couple of real athletic sprinters who, if they're given space, could score tries, but they won't be given the space, so it's going to be very, very difficult for them. Let's just say for the Americans, let's go for Seamus Kelly and maybe Brett Thompson.
OK, a couple of thoughts there. We're taking Scotland quite strongly in that game against the USA. We'll take a quick look at Ireland's next game now. We're not fully priced up on their match against Romania, but I'd imagine there will be long odds on. Ireland started their campaign with a 57 victory over Canada. That was very comfortable. Romania were beaten 38-11 by France last night. They played OK, but I mean, this is a four-day turnaround against a pretty impressive Irish side. This could be a bit of a pacing.
It will be a bit of a pacing. I think that Ireland will match what they put against, you know, the other teams. So it's going to be Ireland have got a very, very, in some ways, easy start, but it's not good for them in the sense that they're not playing against quality opposition, so they're not being challenged. You've got to say for Ireland, playing against Romania now is not the game they wanted. They wanted more of a contest. Romania will be physical. They showed that against France, but they're not the team they were 15, 20 years ago when they actually competed and beat France. So I expect Ireland to win this comfortably. It'll be another bonus points win for them. They'll be racking up the points, maybe 60 points, maybe a 60-pointer.
OK, fair enough. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I suppose they don't really, until they play France on the 11th of October, OK, Italy will be a bit more of a test for them. But you're right, they don't really play quality opposition until quite a way into this tournament, certainly compared to some of the other nations who will have been tested.
Well, that's right. You look at England. We play Fiji. Now we're into Wales. Then we face Australia. You know, it's the way that our pools work is we're challenged by good quality opposition early on. Means that if we come through, that we'll be a robust side that's seen the ups and downs of rugby and had the easy game and have the easy game at the end when we play Uruguay. England will know how many points they need to score against Uruguay going into that game because of where their position will be in the pool and whether or not they can win the pool or whether or not they need to get a cricket score to make sure that they do go into the next pool as the next part as knockout stages as leader of the pool. For Ireland, we really don't know how Ireland will perform when they come up against the likes of France. Even against Italy, Italy losing Sergi Paresi was a big blow for them, and the game against France, they didn't really show that they hadn't been able to replace him. So from that point of view, Ireland should beat the Italians fairly easy. France is going to be the major challenge for Ireland, but it will mean that if Ireland will either come second in that group or first in that group, and so they will qualify for the quarterfinals. But obviously, then it's who they face in the quarterfinals that can determine whether or not they move on.
Yeah, that's right. Interesting stuff indeed regarding Ireland then. But you're taking them for a pretty hefty victory against Romania on Sunday. Any other business before we wrap up the podcast, Jeff?
We're still looking at this World Cup, and we're still, one of the great things about it is it's still open. We the fact that South Africa lost to Japan through a big cat amongst the pigeons, I don't expect any Tier 2 teams to really shine through and come through into the quarterfinal stages and the semi-final stages. We might get one if we're lucky, which would probably be, well, it would have been Samoa, but I can't see that happening. I think it'll be, we're going to only have the Tier 1 teams. I think Scotland's win certainly over Japan has put down a marker for it. It means that I expect Scotland and Samoa to both lose against South Africa. So it will be Scotland, how Samoa play against Japan, that will define who comes out of that group. So that's going to be interesting. But I think that the big thing about the Tier 2 teams is they can make a difference to who finishes first and second, and that will make a difference to how the quarterfinals and the semi-finals play out. So say with South Africa, if they finish second in the group, they will face Ireland and France in their quarters and semi-finals. Well, they will face England and Ireland in the quarterfinals and the semi-finals. If they win that group, they finish like that. If they finish second, they will face Australia and South Africa. So from a South African point of view, perhaps that loss to Japan wasn't so bad.
Yeah, plenty of interesting plot lines, and really good to see the Tier 2 teams being competitive in this tournament. Right then, that about concludes the podcast for this week. Remember, you can tune in to William Hill's In-Play Radio to get all the in-play betting angles throughout the games when we are live on the air. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast once again, Jeff, and I hope you enjoy the rugby over the next coming week. Hope it's been as good as the first.
No, it will be, and the big game this week is that England-Wales game. It's all to play for. Two competitive sides, and it won't be pretty, but it will be hard.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Chef.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.